have a priest friend who I was ordained with way back, well, it's 17 years ago, and every year he has his own little vacation spots that he likes to go to, and every year he's been trying to get me to go with him, and I've always had the excuse, well, you know, my passport's out of date, you know, I don't fly well, all these things, you know. Eventually, this year, he found out that I had my passport renewed, so he knew I didn't have an excuse. So he said, you're coming with me. I've already bought our tickets. So I was going to Iceland, of all places, which I was surprised, but it's a place that he likes and enjoys. So I thought I'd go with him and find out what the intrigue was in this little island nation that is not far from the coast of Greenland, kind of between Greenland and Scandinavia, or a couple miles from England. And so that's where I was the last 12 days or so. And it was a very interesting place. He was right. Had a lot of very natural beauty. You know, I describe it to people as something like, if you've ever been to Alaska, you imagine Alaska with its mountains and volcanoes and tundra kind of landscape, a lot of ocean and lakes and rivers that are coming from the glaciers. But the only exception would be in Iceland, there's not very many trees at all. So you get this natural rocky kind of beauty filled with fire from the geysers and the volcanic activity, and then ice and snow. So they call it the land of fire and ice. And it was very uninhabitable for many years until they brought sheep and some other things in there to provide for them. And so around this nation, it's dotted with little fishing communities, and they live off the land and off of the sea. So it was wonderful. And one of the nice things for tourists is when you go to that nation, because of all the geothermic activity there, they have these little hot tub pools everywhere you go that kind of bubble up out of the ground. And so for many tourists that are there, some that are close to the city, they've changed into local swimming pools that are very heated naturally. And if you go out into the country, you just have these pockets of little hot tub kind of natural pools that just form, and they just leave them alone. But there's usually a sign there that says, you know, if you're going to stop and see these pools, that you can bathe in certain ones. It'll tell you in different languages. There'll be a big sign posted, the temperature of the pools, and that you can bathe in this one, but you can't bathe in this one because it's too hot and you'll hurt yourself. And so, very wise and well-posted, as I said, once you get out in the country. And we're at one particular site that we're touring, and my priest friend was a little disappointed. He said, when I first came here, you could walk right up to these pools, and you could take pictures and all this stuff, but now, as you can see, it's all roped off. And so I asked him, I said, well, why is that? What changed? And he said, well, sometimes you got some tourists that came over that didn't think that they needed to read the signs. They didn't have to stop and bother, so they just whipped off their clothes and picked a pool and jumped right in. And of course, as you can imagine, they got badly burned, had to be taken to the hospital. So after a while, the country thought, well, I guess the signs aren't to rope off this. So it kind of ruined it for everyone. You could still see things, but you couldn't get right up close. So one of the features, if you ever get the opportunity to go there, is you can take advantage of some of these nice hot springs that are very good and healthy for your body and your soul. But it got me thinking when I was reflecting on the plane ride home on today's very simple gospel that Jesus tells us today, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Very simple message. And we know that God's commandments are written for us in the scriptures, and the church constantly teaches us those. And life and the scriptures are all full of signs that we're to read to remind us. God is always reminding us of not only his love for us, but that it's a good idea to obey his rules and commandments, because if we do, they always leave us in a state of peace and happiness. Even if we're struggling in life or carrying crosses in our life, deep inside, we'll have the peace of the Holy Spirit. It's when we don't follow those signs, like some of those tourists, and disregard the rules that, you know, we're probably going to hurt ourselves, either physically or emotionally or spiritually at some point. And we know that sin affects us in our lives and affects others in our lives too. just like those that had gone in disregarding the signs, we can no longer approach and experience that natural beauty ourselves because of their sin. It was all kind of roped off now. But the good news is this. If we look at it from the other direction, when we follow God's commandments, we draw down blessing and happiness upon ourselves and in our lives. And by following God's signs and commandments, it also proves that we really do love God, that it's not just something we're saying or thinking, you know. We're proving it by the way we live our lives, just as he proved his love for us through Jesus by dying on the cross to reconcile us with God our Father. The good news, too, is that God knows that we are weak, that we have trouble reading signs, right? We always don't get everything that God is trying to say to us. Maybe because we're not praying enough or because we're not using the sacraments enough or not coming to church enough, that we miss those signs sometimes. So God knows that life is full of struggles for us as we seek to obey. But through it all and through those ups and downs, we can always fall back on the fact that God still loves us and that he will never abandon us. And even more so, he promised to send a helper, the advocate, he calls him, the Holy Spirit, to assist us who love God. We've all received the gift of the Holy Spirit already, starting very early in life for most of us, at the time we were babies, when we were first baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit took up residence within us, and we've received his gifts, blessing, and help time and time again, every time that we've received him in the Eucharist. And then we were sealed, many of us, through confirmation with the fullness of the Holy Spirit's peace, consolation, and health, bringing to life those gifts that he have given us to their fullest potential and extent in our hearts so that we can go out and be mature, faithful Christians in our world today and be a witness to Christ's love. Adults that are in our parishes and in our communities, perhaps even in our own families, that haven't been confirmed for whatever reason, the church never judges anyone. But the good news is you can still receive that wonderful sacrament of confirmation through our RCIA program. It's never too late. Each year, every parish offers a little bit of instruction about our faith in the Holy Spirit so that in the Easter season one can receive that gift. And so just keep in mind that it's never too late. And all you have to do is contact me or our parish secretary and we'd be happy to get you on that journey and assist you with that any way we can. And so for Christians who have received the fullness of the Holy Spirit as their helper and guide, we'll always have that promise of God's love and mercy, have that divine helper with us to help us to always come out on top, no matter what the temptations and the struggles that we have in our lives. And so let us today pray and thank God for the loving assistance that he offers us through the Holy Spirit as we prepare to celebrate Pentecost in a couple weeks. And remember to always call upon him in times of need.